And welcome back to the What's Up program with your host, Terry Lowry. Still with us is the author of One Heartbeat Away, Mark Cahill. Welcome back.
Terry, thanks for having me again. I just appreciate the time to chat with your listeners and encourage your listeners and just challenge them to be bold, righteous, radical servants of the Most High God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth.
Mark, AM radio is such that about half the listeners that started with us at 12:30 have already got to the office, they've got to their restaurant, they've got to their sales call. You know, but now we've got another half of listeners that have just joined in. So let's kind of repeat some that we've been talking about already this hour about your great book, One Heartbeat Away. Several programs ago, we talked about the very intro of your book, that every one of us has a heart. And every one of us has a heart that beats about 100,000 times a day. But every one of us has a heart someday will not beat again. Should we all be thinking about that day? What's going to happen when my heart will not beat again?
Well, the thing is, if you just pick up the newspaper, we can look at the obituary page today and find people younger than me in there. We've had teenagers been dying here in Atlanta. We had the school bus crash in Alabama just a couple weeks ago. We better be thinking about that much more than who's going to win the football game this weekend. What gift am I going to get under the tree? All these, and what's my year-end bonus going to be? No, I'm looking for my eternal bonus, not my year-end bonus. But I just think that's the trick of the enemy, Terry, that we just get caught up, especially here in America, where we're not getting a lot of persecution for our faith, at least in a physical way, and we're just deadened by materialism. That's why I really think when judgment of God continues to come on this country, He's going to judge the financial. And when He judges that, all of a sudden we're going to be sitting there in our homes. Okay, I don't have a job. I don't have this. Let's sit around. What is important today? And what's going to be important today is what should have been important yesterday, and that's the God of this universe.
The God of this universe. But most people don't want to think about the Creator. They just want to think that we just crawled out of the miry pit.
The other trick, too, is one, we're just getting hammered with evolution everywhere. It's a shame it's not in the Bible, and we disprove that completely in Chapter 2 of the book, and we've actually had people who are evolutionists email us and tell us after reading the first two chapters of this book, they are no longer evolutionists. They just thought the evidence was so solid, and that's the other thing that Satan is, you know, when you get older, you can go ahead and make this commitment. I have people all the time, you know, when I get older, I'm going to get serious about this, and I just ask them, can you guarantee me you're going to wake up tomorrow morning? And they say no. I say no, and the Bible says today's the day of salvation. One of my friends, she just asked people, wait a minute, are you even guaranteed your next breath? And people will say, no, she's pretty tough. And she just comes right at them. And we don't think like that, but that's what witnessing is, when we're just kind of like I go for the jugular sometimes. I'm trying to say something that's going to, God can use to wake you up to think about something that really does matter. And that football game does not matter. Let's just be honest about it.
Mark Cahill, why does God hate sin? Because if we don't understand the concept that God hates sin, then we'll never understand the concept of a heaven, a hell, and free choice.
Yeah, great question. God's nature is pure. God's nature is righteousness. And then just all throughout the scriptures, God is holy. And holy means separated from, distinct from, without sin, pure. And see, holiness cannot be with unholiness. They're complete opposites. And so the reason he hates it, because it's foreign to his nature. And that's where Satan came from. And, you know, and he was all about evil, and he's here to deceive people into wickedness. It all completely, time and time again in the scriptures, God is going to judge wickedness. He hates wickedness. He doesn't want us in any type of sin, because that ends up becoming our God. We follow the sin as far as it will take us, but the problem is it will take us to hell if we don't repent of it. So once you know God's character, that he is holy, he's pure, that's what he demands from every single person on this planet. Problem is, there ain't a soul down here that can do that, and that's why he provided a way out for us through the cross of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But God demands holiness. God is holy, so be holy as he is holy.
Can I be as holy as you?
As me? Mm-hmm. Actually, you can, and the reason is because our righteousness is in Jesus Christ. I was reading Romans recently. That is, he imputes his righteousness into me. So actually, every born-again believer is righteous in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, we still have flesh, though. And the flesh we have, as one of my buddies puts it this way, he only battles three things. His flesh, the world, and Satan. That's the only three things he battles. But that pretty much covers it all when you get down to it.
That about covers it all, the flesh, the world. world.
You still got that flesh we're encapsulated in, that we're not going to be out of this. See, actually, that's why death is a great thing for a believer. You're finally out of the flesh, Romans 7. Paul, why do I do the things I know I should not do? And the things I should do, why aren't I doing those? What he's saying is he's struggling, flesh and spirit. But see, that is all put to the end on that last breath, when you finally, as a believer, get out of this body and go before the throne of God, and that flesh will not be holding you back anymore.
Now, we have free choice. So can I choose to be as holy as Mother Teresa, or does it matter?
Well, the thing is, your holiness is really only going to come from God. He makes you a new creation, a new creature when you get saved. God is not going to compare my holiness to Mother Teresa's holiness, so she did a few more good works or she goes to heaven. No, it's not going to happen, because really, my righteous acts are like filthy rags to God. There is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3. And so we strive for holiness, because why? We're trying to strive to please by free will my Father in heaven. See, but my holiness cannot earn my salvation. That can only come through the cross, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now, will we all stand before God to be judged? Some of us may be judged for our righteousness, others for our sin.
Yeah, everybody's going to be judged. I always say stand before the throne of God, but the more I get into this, I really think we're going to be face down before the throne of God, because every knee is going to bow to the God of this universe. When unholiness finally sees holiness, we're going to know that we are nothing compared to the great God of this universe, absolutely nothing. So the thing is, it's really what sacrifice you're going to bring. You can try to bring your own works as your ticket to heaven, but the problem is, if your ticket's not stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ, you can't get through the throne and go right and go to heaven. You're going to go left and depart as a wicked, evil servant that chose your sin. Because you can do good works, but you can do it for the wrong reasons. And see, we forget that sometimes, too.
So there could be some that have never accepted Jesus Christ that may do good works, give away half of their earnings, and never squish a bug, and on and on and on. But if their name's not... Is this a spiritual thing? If their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it's off or not?
Warren Buffett, probably the second richest man in America behind Bill Gates, just gave away basically his whole fortune to Bill Gates' foundation to be given away to be used for different things around the world. And Warren Buffett is well known as one of the biggest supporters of Planned Parenthood. All that money, he gave it all away. It still will not account for his sin that he has committed in this lifetime. And so the thing is, that's why, you know, people always want money. You can't serve both God and mammon. It's going to be one or the other. And so that's why I tell people, be very careful. You can do good works, but so can atheists. Atheists can go down and help people that were victims during Hurricane Katrina. There probably were atheists down there. That's not how you get to heaven, though.
Well, when the rich man died and he found himself in hell, he had his senses. You know, he could see the beggar in the bosom of Abraham. You know, he could hear others screaming. He had the sense of touch, because he said he was burning, and he could feel. Now, I don't know if he could smell the burning flesh, but he had his senses, didn't he?
Oh, my goodness. Luke 16 is just a fascinating chapter in the Bible. I just preached out of it the other day. And anybody I've talked to, Terry, that had the experience, a near-death experience of heaven or one of hell, they will always tell you their senses were just magnified. Their sight, the colors were so pure and clear of flowers. They saw one guy that had a heavenly experience. People in hell, the stench, the flames, the heat. No. Your senses work to a magnified state, which would be fantastic if you're going to heaven, but would be horrendous, as we see in Luke 16, from the rich man who chose. It was his own choice to go to hell. I had a guy tell me the other day about hell. I said, well, you don't have to worry. I said, God's never going to send you to hell. He said, no, he's not. I said, he would never do that to you. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, all he's going to do is put his stamp of approval on your choice. I said, you choose to go there because you're choosing your sin. You're choosing darkness rather than light. You will not choose Jesus Christ. He won't send you there. He just puts a stamp of approval on your choice to go there.
Well, again, wrapping up here with our guest, Mark Cahill, we're going through chapter 4, The Flames. Friends, do you recognize these words? To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Someday, Mark, our hearts will stop beating. In America, again, Barna Research Group, you know, in their surveys, find that about 64% believe that they think they're headed to heaven. Do they need to know for sure?
That's nothing I want to think about. I want to know. I don't want to hope that Jesus rose from the dead. I want to know that he did. It's something every one of us needs to know, Terry.
We need to know. How can our listeners know if their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life? How can they know?
I think it's very simple. I would just take a look at Exodus 20, look at the Ten Commandments, see your sin. I would read the book of John or the book of Romans, and you can see exactly what Jesus Christ, I read both of those books, and see exactly what Jesus Christ did for you. And then just as you did after 10 hours with that pastor, decide by prayer to repent of your sins and surrender to your life to the risen Savior that died on the cross for your sins, and only his blood, 1 John, can wash you as pure and as white as snow.
Well, from that day back in 1972, I've not been perfect. Just ask my wife. I've made many mistakes. Ask my children. I lose my temper to this day. And, you know, some days I feel like I need to chop my right hand off, or I need to chop my foot off, or I need to pluck out my eyes, because God, through the Word, says if your hand offends you, cut it off. It's better to go through life without the hand, or cut your foot off if it walks you to sin, or if you're looking and sinning, pluck your eyes out. It's better to go without sight on this side of heaven and have sight in heaven. Mark, you are a great soul winner. Close us in prayer that many will become soul winners like you, and many will start sharing their faith with others they come in contact all across this fruited plain.
Father, we thank you for just a chance to preach the good news across these airwaves. Father God, I ask you to draw every believer that listens to this, and we'll forget that every believer out there, draw them to your Bible, your Word, and to read the book of Romans and read the book of Acts and understand it was a book of action, to get out into this world and to plant seeds, to seek and save those using Terry's program, Father God, time and time again, to get this truth out there, to do it. But one thing we remember from the book of Acts, that you opened up the heart of Lydia, opened up her heart to hear the truth. Father God, we know we can trust you to do your job, to make seeds grow and open up people's hearts. But Father, I challenge you by the power of your Holy Spirit, Father, challenge the people out there listening right now. Challenge their hearts to do their part, to walk out in this world and plant seeds and water seeds. And Father, watch you, the great God of the universe, give that increase. And we ask it in the great, precious, sweet, beautiful name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mark, until we meet, until that final trumpet sounds, may we all be busy spreading the good news, trying to save one more soul from hell. One more for Jesus. One more for Jesus. May our goal every day to help find one more soul for Jesus. Mark, God bless you.
Thank you, Terry.